Shut up and sit down.
Do not self-destruct.
We decided to come and rescue you.
Good job.
Before the dark times.
I'll show you the dark side.
This is where the fun begins.
Hello there. Welcome in to another episode of the Carbonite Crew podcast. I am your host, Tyler. Welcome in. And today we're going to talk chapter 6 of the Book of Boba Fett, or as I like to call it, episode 2 of season 3 of The Mandalorian. All right. This episode directed by the man himself, the cowboy, Dave Filoni. What has this man done wrong? I literally need somebody to tell me what this man has ever done wrong. Because I don't know what it is. He's given us nothing but gold. He is Midas himself, if I do say so myself. This episode is titled, From the Desert Comes a Stranger. And my, how literal that title is. And for many, it was a stranger that came from the desert. But for many, many more, it was a familiar face. An old friend, almost, if you will. And yeah, let's save that. Let's save the stranger towards the end of this episode, because that's, you know, that's where they come in. They come in a little later, towards the end of the actual episode. This episode starts out on a really cool, almost a cold open, if you will. Cobb Vanth is back. Timothy Ophelint, I don't know how to say his last name, but, you know, he is back. We saw him in season 2 of The Mandalorian. He is awesome. He is the one that donned Boba Fett's gear before Bobo retook it over. Got it back, if you will. He is a sheriff of this town, now known as Freetown, after it was saved from the Krayt Dragon by the town and the Mandalorian himself, Din Djarin. So yeah, we see that in this cold open, there are some pikes, obviously doing some sort of exchange with credits and some box, which I'm assuming was spice. I imagine spice looks like spice, and that kind of looked like sand or spice or what have you. I assume that's what that was. You know, it's 4-1. He basically says, don't come through my town. I know who you are. So get on step, and he kills 3 of them. Lets one go to send a message to the other pikes, which will come back into play later. But yes, we got to see Cobb Vanth, and it was freaking awesome. I love this character more and more. The more I see him, the more I love his development and love him as a character. We see Mando, and we left Mando at the end of the last episode saying he needed to visit a little friend. Now, you know, I can't imagine Mando as a man of many friends, but I can think of one in particular, and he's a very tiny little man. So maybe he's going to go visit him. Mando lands on this, you know, forest, beautiful planet. Gorgeous planet. And to our surprise, I did not see this coming. R2 himself is there. We get a meeting between R2 and the Mandalorian, and it's just lovely. It's so lovely. It's fantastic. He says, I'm here to see Grogu. And R2 leads him. And we see all these spider droids building this temple, or this hut, if you will. And this is going to be Luke's temple. You know, I think this is the same one we see burnt down in The Force Awakens, right? In the flashbacks. This is it. We saw it destroyed. Now we are seeing it built. Seeing this structure on both ends of its life cycle, if you will, is just, you know, I say this every week, and I'm probably beating a dead horse, but like, what this, The Mandalorian and really, the Book of Boba Fett itself, what it's done with symmetry and poetry and bookending things has just been so beautiful. The details, just everything, the imagery, the metaphors, the similes, just everything has been absolutely fantastic. And I'm in love with what they've done. But R2 shuts down. Mando's like, what is up? The spider droids build him a bench. And then we cut to Grogu and Luke training. We got Luke Skywalker, folks. We got Luke Skywalker. We're here. I am so happy. And I just want to say I am so pleased and impressed and really surprised by how much Luke we actually got in this episode. You know, I feel like he was a treat at the end of the season 2 of The Mandalorian. And it was very quick. It was very, just flash in the pan, right? And we actually got a lot of Luke. I was really, really impressed. I was surprised. I love that they gave us that. It wasn't just some, spectacle, if you will, that's just, here, come watch this for a second. Okay, cool. Thanks for coming. It was, no, here's Luke Skywalker. Here's him training Grogu, really. And we got a lot of screen time. And it was fantastic. I loved it. I love what they did with the imagery and the shots in this and the sound. I pay attention to a lot of that stuff, I feel like. And it, for me, it really enhances the viewing experience. And, when they're talking about the Force and, Force flows through all things, it's about balance. I love it. Just those quiet moments in the show where you hear the breeze. You can almost feel the wind. You can hear it. You can feel it. It's just so peaceful, and this the serenity surrounding it. It's like I can actually see or even feel the Force in this episode. It's really, really cool and unique in the way they did this, and I'm really happy and really glad the way they really represented and presented just that feeling and that aura around Luke and Grogu, training. I thought that was beautiful. Like I said, I love seeing Luke again. It's been fantastic. I do think this is me. I don't know how you guys feel, but I do feel like the CGI is just a little off. Like, it's fantastic. I can't complain. But there was someone, I apologize, I don't know the name. Someone did their own CGI of Luke in The Mandalorian season 2, that final episode. And it just looked a little crisper, a little better, and a little more realistic. I guess I just expect a lot out of Disney and Lucasfilm. They are the juggernauts leading the pack. I guess I expect a little more, but it doesn't look bad. I can't complain. I know that's Luke. I'm not looking around what is going on? This is weird. It doesn't take me away from the story, right? I think when he talks is the weird part. Sometimes his lips don't quite match up to what he's saying. I think that part's a little odd, but other than that, I think it's really good, and it's really respectful, I guess. It's really, I can deal with it. Let's just say that. I can deal with it. Luke said wants to take Grogu on a walk, and I love how he's, lifting Grogu up with the Force and, basically putting him in front of him. They catch up, and he just keeps doing it. I thought that was a nice little, comedic break there that was, it was really subtle, but it was really good. Luke still talks seriously. I think that comedy and that drama really, really meshed real well there. I really like that. And Luke mentions Yoda here. He tells Grogu, you remind me of someone I used to know. He talked in riddles, and speaks like Yoda for a second. I just thought it was so lovely. It takes me back. It takes you back, one thing I want to touch on, because, I love Star Wars. Jonathan on the podcast was always the Legends guy, and Daniel was the book guy. It seemed like everyone kind of had their niche, on this show, and maybe they know a little more about this, but Luke tells Grogu, you've forgotten. Do you want to see your memories? And Luke touches him and starts showing him the memories of when Grogu was younger. So we're talking 40 years ago. Right, because Grogu's 50, we see Order 66 again. Dave Filoni has this weird obsession with just making us sad and showing us Order 66 and Jedi just dying. Dave Filoni's like, oh, I just thought of two or three more Jedi. We never showed them get killed by clone troopers. We got to show that somewhere. So let's go show them that. And it's kind of brutal. Because Jedi put up a good fight against the clones, but there's too many of them. They get shot. And then after they're dead, he makes it a point that he shows the clone troopers shooting the Jedi more. That's fucking crazy. Like, you don't need to see that. I thought this was a good show, but he does. We see the clones in the Jedi in Grogu's reflection of his eyes, and it's heartbreaking. But I didn't know that, like, Jedi had the powers to show people memories. Is that new? Am I behind the eight ball on something? Because I really don't know. Like, I don't... Like, maybe it's in comics, or maybe it's a Legends thing. Maybe it's, you know, different media like books. But I just... It's awesome. I freaking loved it. And I think it was cool the way they represented that as a flashback. They kind of put that, like, little hazy ring around it, the aura thing. And so you knew it was a flashback. But one thing I also found interesting is I almost think it put, like, Grogu in a trance, or, like, hypnotized him maybe in a way. Because when Grogu wakes up, they're in a completely different location. And Luke even says, like, welcome back. So I'm assuming he, like, carried him to wherever they went. But Grogu must have been hypnotized or tranced or something weird like that. Like, I'm not really sure. But we cut over to Mando laying there on the bench taking a nap. And we see Ahsoka! Ahsoka's back. So, folks, we are, like, 10 minutes into this episode, like, the actual episode, and we have gotten R2, Grogu, Yoda, Order 66, now Ahsoka, Mando, Cobb Vanth. Like, what the hell? What? I honestly truly think and believe if anyone else is directing this episode, I don't want to, like, discredit anybody, but, like, I honestly feel like if anyone else were directing this episode, it would not have been executed this well. And I think it would have all felt really forced or really all compacted. But in the first 10 minutes, this has felt so natural. Dave Filoni is the fucking man. Like, I just don't know how else to put it in, like, simpler terms. He is. It's crazy. He's the dude. I see Ahsoka again. And Mando asks, why are you here? What are you doing here? You know, not in an unmeaning way. He just asks, you know, what are you doing here? Ahsoka says, I'm an old friend of the family. Guys, I had to pause, you know, for a second. Because they got me. It choked me up just a little bit. It did choke me up just a little bit. I said, okay, I'll be fine. And another thing, too, in this, like, little interaction that I've not seen a lot of people talk about, we got to see Ahsoka and R2 again. Like, what? Ahsoka, R2. So good. So good. But it's fine. She leads him. And they're talking. She says, if you want to see Grogu, there he is, right? You know, less direct about it, but he's like, all right, I will. And she's like, well, are you doing this for you or for him? Because if he sees you again, it's going to make it so hard, and he already misses you so much. And Mando, I'm going to get choked up talking about it again. My God. Mando says, I've come so far, or I've come all this way. And just the way Mando says that, you can just hear it in his voice. Like, he loves Grogu so much. Like, it's not just I'm checking in. Like, he cares for Grogu so freaking much. And the way Pedro Pascal, like, says that line, like, you never see his face, but the way he delivers that line, you can hear it, and you can even see it in his face, even though you can't see his face. It's crazy. Pedro Pascal, it's just he's been nailing this, and it's been so good. But Mando decides not to go up. He gives Ahsoka the gift for Grogu and says, well, give it, can you give this to him? And he leaves. And We see Din leaving in a ship, and we see see Grogu watching the ship leaves, and he like reaches out for him, and it's the most adorable thing because I think he knew he was there. I do. I think he felt him. I think he knew it was him, even though he's never seen the ship before. He didn't see him down when they were close in a proximity, but he knew. He knew he was there. He knew it was Mando that was leaving, and it's so. We see more Mando and We see more Grogu and Luke training. Luke is teaching Grogu, you know, let the force flow through you. You know, don't jump. And he even says, don't try, which is another callback to Yoda. And it was freaking awesome. And then we see Luke carry Grogu on his back, and he starts running through the trees and doing flips and back flips and front flips. And it's Yoda and Luke all over again, but instead of Luke being the one being trained with Yoda on the back, Luke is the one training with Grogu on his back. And the parallels, guys, this episode's so emotional, I swear. We see Luke pull out his lightsaber, swinging it around, and I love the shot of seeing Luke, you know, wield the lightsaber and swing it around. But we saw it through the reflection of Grogu's eyes. And I thought that was so amazing. Like, just that visual was so fantastic. I absolutely loved that. And then, you know, Luke lets Grogu start using the training remote that we saw from A New Hope. And, like, guys, we're getting callbacks from Episode 5, Episode 4, Episode 2, The Clone Wars, you know? Like, this is insane what we're getting right now. And we are, like, not even 20 minutes in. It is so nuts. This episode moves rather quickly when you really, really sit down and think about it and watch it. But it never feels quick, right? It never felt forced. It never felt like too much. It felt like what you're supposed to learn. And I had this great conversation with one of my good friends, Fez, who you will hear him on the podcast in the next few weeks. But we were talking about fan service and what is fan service. And this episode was fan service. And I agree 100%. This episode was fan service. And one thing I told him was it's fan service, but it's fan service for the sake of the story, not for the sake of the fans. And I know that maybe that sounds kind of contradicting, fan service for the fans, but I think fan service over the years has gotten a really negative connotation around it where, oh, that was put in there because we wanted it, not because it helped the story. So it's only there because we want it. Cool. Yeah. But like Spider-Man Far From Home, this, you know, the Book of Boba Fett, like it's fan service that is enhancing the story and moving the story forward. You know, you could use the argument that this is always what happened in the story and we're only saying it's fan service because it's incorporating things that we love, which, you know, obviously, duh, is true. But you know, it's an enhancement. It's a positive reinforcement to the story. And it's okay to use fan service in a really positive way. I think it should be used in a positive way. I don't think it should have a negative connotation at all. You know, Spider-Man No Way Home obviously is the big, you know, example of fan service at its finest and best point. But, you know, Marvel itself has been setting up fan service for, you know, 12, 13 years now because they just keep adding on. And Marvel's a whole other subject. We won't get into that right now. But yeah, this was just absolutely beautiful. We see Luke and Ahsoka together finally. They are finally together on the screen. Not in animation, live action. And it was beautiful. Luke does mention to Ahsoka that Ahsoka says to Luke, "You're training him very well." And Luke says, "Well, I think he's doing I think he's doing more remembering than me training him." Which, boom, confirmed. Grogu has had training before, and we saw it a little. Like we can get that from the flashbacks as well, right? He was with the Jedi, so clearly, maybe they weren't training him yet. I don't know, but it does seem he's had some training with Luke, saying that he's remembering more than being trained. It was before Order 66 he was being trained at a very young age, because he's 50-something now. That was 30-plus years ago, so he was very, very young. when he started being trained. And Ahsoka says something that kind of got me. So Ahsoka says, sometimes the student guides the master to Luke. I watched this episode twice, and the second time it caught my eye, and I had to pause it to like make this note in my phone because it got me thinking. Ahsoka, like word for word, she says, sometimes the student guides the master. And I actually think this is a metaphor intentionally done by Dave Filoni because, you know, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's very methodical and very, you know, very precise. I think this is a reference to her path and her journey with Anakin, actually. I think she taught Anakin a lot along the way when they were Master and Padawan. And I think that once she left, that kind of was part of the reason that Anakin went to the dark side. I'm not saying had she stuck around, he wouldn't have, because obviously the prophecy was always there. If you watched the Clone Wars, you know that. But I think her leaving, Anakin kind of lost himself, right? So he lost someone to lean on and almost maybe his better half, if you will, especially, you know, in his profession or in his Jedihood. And that guided him. Yeah, helped guide him down the path he went. And Anakin obviously shaped Ahsoka and helped guide her down the path she went. Remade her realize she didn't want to be part of the Jedi Order, and she became what she became. So I think that it was one of those really small, like, overlooked lines that actually means a lot in the context of lore and the show and just the stories of these characters. Let me know if you agree or don't agree. I would love to actually talk about that whole line with someone. With you guys, I think that'd be cool. Yeah, let me know. Go ahead and tweet the show. This next part is probably the most sad. Okay. Set the scene for you guys. Very sad moments in Star Wars. And not even like boo-hoo sad, but like happy sad. Or you know, joyful sad. They make you tear up or choke up or shed a tear. Whatever. Show emotion. I don't know. Laugh. I don't know. However you show emotion. No idea. To each their own. That is your prerogative. But when Obi-Wan and Anakin said goodbye to each other for the last time, episode 3, oof, got you. When Obi-Wan said, you were like a brother to me, I loved you, oof, right? Oof, right? Right in the chest. What are some other ones? Kanan and Ezra. When Kanan, I don't want to give any Rebel spoilers for those who haven't seen it, but the Kanan and Ezra moment. What are some other ones? Oh, when like Luke showed up at the end of season 2 of The Mandalorian, you know, that one got you. Or when Din took off his helmet to say goodbye to Grogu, that was fucking sad, right? Like, cool. There's moments I've like teared up. The Luke one is the most recent one I can think of from The Mandalorian. I teared up for that a little bit. That was emotional. But guys, like, and I'm just going to be transparent with you. Like, I am a Star Wars fan. Like, I absolutely love it. I think it has everything you could ever want in a story. Even if you don't like space operas or sci-fi or like that kind of stuff, you know, comics, like even if you don't like that stuff, like it has something for everyone. I truly wholeheartedly believe that. But like, and this is one of those payoff moments, is if you saw Rebels, if you saw Clone Wars, if you saw all those animated shows or a lot of other side projects other than just the films, I think this is one of those huge payoff moments. And it's a really quick line, but Luke says, I just don't know what to do about him, meaning Grogu. Like, you know, I don't feel like his heart is in it as much. I don't know what I should do. And Ahsoka just says, you're just like your father. I mean, you remind me just like of your father, you know? And guys, like, I paused this show for like a good 5 to 10 minutes. I lost it. Like, I think Ahsoka and like Anakin, I think that relationship is just, so unique and so deep and interconnected and has so many more like repercussions and consequences in the greater lore of things. And like it played so well that it affects the prequels to me, even though she wasn't technically like around then because the character wasn't created then. I think the story we got after makes the prequels that much better because I know that's happening at the same time, particularly in episode 3. And, you know, if you've watched Rebels, you saw the interaction between Ahsoka and Vader, right? You saw that. And you saw, like, that moment got me. You know, that was like a ooh, right in the chest moment when that happened. But, like, this moment, it was one of those, like, we've been waiting for Ahsoka and Luke. Like, did they ever meet? Like, now we know they met. She says, you remind me just of your father. Like, I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to get choked up again talking about it. Because it is, it's so beautiful. And so pure. And I think that was the relationship between Anakin and Ahsoka. I think it was just a pure relationship. I think they truly, like, loved each other, you know, as friends and as people. And they helped each other. They were each other's better halves the most. And just that little line in this episode, I think it meant the world to me. Like, I don't know. Like, it kind of leaves me speechless. But, yeah, it got me. It got me, and I'm sure it'll get me again when I watch the episode again. But we cut, and we get a nice cameo from Boba Fett, which is great because this is the name of the show. And I saw someone say this online in one of the Facebook groups I'm in, but they said Boba Fett only showing up for like 10 seconds in the last two episodes with no dialogue is the most Boba Fett thing you could do. And I could not agree more. I know one of the gripes has been he talks too much or his helmet's off too much. And literally it's just been the complete opposite in the last two episodes. He's just not said a word and we've just not seen him. I absolutely love it. And I do want to, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I think my problem with like this show is, I know I said the first like part of it wasn't my favorite. I think my problem with the show, honestly, is that it's called The Book of Boba Fett. I think this show was always meant to be a spinoff of The Mandalorian, which is fine, but I think it really like handcuffed itself when it said, called itself The Book of Boba Fett, because like the first third, Boba Fett. The second third has been like The Mandalorian. We're going to get this kind of like culmination right at the end, this final episode next week. I just think had it been called like anything else that was more generalized, we wouldn't have these complaints. I don't know. I mean, let me know if you think differently, but I just don't think it would have felt as weird. But yeah, that's what I think. Mando says he knows where he may be able to get some help. So we see him go visit Cobb Vanth. And I like when he lands a ship, you can still see actually some of the yellow paint from the Naboo starfighter on the N-class, the N1 Naboo starfighter. I thought that was really cool. And we meet the deputy. Real quick, he tries to tell Mando to park his ship somewhere else, like it freaking matters. It's a desert with whatever. It's just silly. But last time we saw them together, they beat the Krayt Dragon. And when they go to the cantina, you can actually see the skeleton or the remains, the ribs, it looks like, from the Krayt Dragon, which is cool. But Mando says, hey, I need some help. I want you to get the best people you can. We want to go fight this war against the Pikes. Vanth is a little hesitant, obviously. And Mando's like, well, you know, let me know type thing. Mando leaves and Cobb Vanth tells the bartender, the bar owner, go gather all the men, women, and children that can fight up. I want to have a meeting. Guy says, well, what are you going to tell them? This doesn't concern them. That's not their fight. And Cobb Vanth says something to the effect of, it might be the town's problem when they hear what I have to say. Very intriguing line. Will we ever find out? I don't know. But I think we will. But I don't know. We did see a silhouette in the distance. And I want to say by the second or third shot, I knew who it was. I think I knew who it was. Vanth tells people to get inside. He said he hopes it's not a problem, but just in case. Even the deputy says, what can I help you with, sir? He's like, it doesn't concern you. I've got this. You see the silhouette, cowboy looking hat in the distance, nice jacket flowing in the wind. It's getting closer and closer. And there he is. The man Dave Filoni created himself. The bounty hunter. Cad Bane. Oh, man. Guys, what better way to introduce Cad Bane into live action than a Western standoff? A Western standoff. Cad Bane, I have absolutely been in love with his character since the Clone Wars. And if you have not watched the Clone Wars, please go do so. Please go do so. Cad Bane is just freaking awesome. I remember when they released the first Funko Pop of Cad Bane, I was all over. I was like, yes, Cad Bane is the dude. And we finally get to see him in live action, right? There's been like characters from animated series to live action. Ahsoka's a great example where, oh, cool, that's Ahsoka, that's awesome. But like things just didn't translate, you know, right? Like her Lekus, or I believe that's what they're called on her species, but they couldn't be as long as they were in Rebels. But that was like a logistics thing. Like you just like legitimately couldn't do that in live action because they were in the way. It was not possible to do that, especially with like fight scenes and stuff. So they went the shorter route. Or just different things. The biggest gripe I saw about Cad Bane, someone mentioned his teeth. I don't care about that. That's stupid. I thought they looked cool. And someone said, like, I've seen people like fix the shade of blue he is to darker. I don't give a shit about that either. Guys, Cad Bane translates fucking perfectly to live action. And I will argue with anybody on that. Perfectly. Honestly, I think this is my favorite moment in all of these series so far. I don't know why. Like, I adore the moment we saw Luke return. I thought it was so emotional. It was beautiful. I love the whole Ahsoka stuff. Like I said earlier in this episode, it clearly hit me in a very soft spot. Like, I connected with it. But, like, there is something about this Cad Bane introduction that I just did not see coming. And that I just know this is going to work. And the fact that it was Dave Filoni that brought him in, the way he looks, it's the same voice actor. Shout out to the voice actor. I do not have your name off the, you know, I'm going to get the name right now because I need to give credit. Corey Burton is back as the voice of Cad Bane. And I am just in love with this whole interaction, this whole moment. You know, not a lot of words are said, and he never says his name. I watched this twice. I never heard him once say his name. Cobb Vanth asked twice. Sorry, I don't think I got your name. The deputy is out there when he shouldn't be. Cad Bane is saying, you know, back off this whole Pike thing. We'll pay you twice as much or as much as Mando is paying you, and all you gotta do is not do anything. You just gotta sit here and live your life. Literally all you have to do. Western standoff, draw of the guns. We knew this deputy was going down, right? Bam. Vanth gets shot. Bam, 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 bam. Deputy gets shot. Deputy's dead. I really don't think Vanth is dead. I would be surprised if he's dead, but people did rush to go look at him after he got shot, and like they looked like they started giving him medical aid or some kind of attention, so I don't think he's dead. Don't know if he'll be in the next episode, because obviously this just happened, but I do think he will be back in maybe season 3 of The Mandalorian. But yeah, like, we see Cad Bane, like, guys, we saw Cad Bane. Like, I am so here for Cad Bane. Get his own show. I want Cad Bane to have his own show right now. I'm calling for it. I want Dave Filoni to do the show, or give us a movie. I don't even care at this point. I want all the live-action Cad Bane I get in my life. And this is cool, too, because if you watch The Bad Batch, the first season of The Bad Batch, we saw this awesome fight between Fennec Shand and Cad Bane going toe-to-toe, with Fennec Shand really winning. And there's footage from pre-visual effects for The Clone Wars that never made the show, but the footage is actually out there of before the visual effects were added, where Cad Bane is the one that puts that dent in Boba Fett's helmet, that famous dent that we've seen since Return of the Jedi. Since Empire Strikes Back, we've seen that dent since Empire Strikes Back. That, supposedly, I guess I don't know if it's canon yet or not technically, but that's from Cad Bane. They have a duel, almost like a Western standoff, and they both like shoot each other in the head or something like that, and it's crazy, whole thing. And yeah, nice little Easter egg too. So we'll see them meet again. Maybe they'll even mention the dent in the helmet. But we go back, we cut away from that amazing stuff. We go back to Mos Espa, we go back to the bar, and we see the Pikes come in with the ice cream maker machine, can't remember the name of it. They sit down, they don't order anything, they get up and leave, but they leave that. Boom! Bar exploded. I can't imagine Garza, the owner of the bar, the Twi'lek, I can't imagine she's dead. She seemed too important of a character, but who knows? I guess we'll find out. So the Pikes have made their move. They are starting the war, or at least they are ready for the war. They blew up the cantina there in Mos Espa. And we go back to Luke and Grogu. And, you know, Luke gives Grogu his little gift from Mandalorian. It's a little chainmail suit made of Beskar. Little chainmail suit, and he lays it down. And it's the most adorable thing I've ever seen. And then Luke pulls out a gosh dang lightsaber, and it's Yoda's lightsaber. What is happening? Yoda and Luke are sitting across from each other, and he lays down Yoda's lightsaber. He said, "This is yours, bro. This is a weapon of a Jedi. Here you go." But then says, Wait, little man. Hold a second. Hold up a second. You can't have both. You have to choose your path. It's either the lightsaber or the Beskar, and whichever you choose will be the path you take. It won't be easy, and it's going to take a long time to become a Jedi, but you can do this. You can do this. And he's making him choose, and we see this shot. This is really cool. I'll try to post the picture on our Instagram or Twitter, but there's a shot from behind Luke where we see Grogu facing us, and it's the Beskar to the left and armor, and the lightsaber to the right. And I think this is a direct foreshadowing of the whole endgame of the story, where Grogu is the next Mandalorian Jedi. I think he is the next ruler of Mandalore. Because it looks like we're going to visit Mandalore next season in The Mandalorian. But I think Grogu does become the next leader. We learned it with Tar Vizsla. We learned that whole story, if we're unfamiliar with it, in the last episode. I think it's foreshadowing and a great visualization of what is to come. And it will be Grogu. And it may not be in 10 years, 20 years, but it could be in 50 or 100 years. He will be the man. Yeah. Woo, what an episode, guys. Last week, I was very, very stoked about the episode. And I gave... I do a rating every week for those just joining. And I did... a rating last week of last week's Chapter 5 episode, a 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. That's the best you can get, is 10. Like, that's a perfect score. It's 100%. This week's rating, you know, since I technically have created this scale, I can do with it whatever I want. This gets a whopping 110 out of 10. That is how good this episode was. It was perfect, plus more perfect. Plus more perfect. It was everything I didn't know I wanted, everything I needed, and more. Like, again, let me quickly, off the top of my head, tell you what we got in this episode. Ahsoka, R2, Yoda reference, Luke Skywalker, Mandalorian, Boba Fett, Fennec Shand, the Pikes, Yoda's lightsaber, Beskar armor. What else? Luke reference, Anakin references, Clone Wars references. I know I miss it. I can't. Cad Bane, Cobb Vanth, Spice. Like, what else? There's more. Luke's Jedi Temple. The reference to the Jedi Temple. I just don't know. There's just so much. This is all in, like, 40-minute episode. I cried. I laughed. I did it all. I had all the emotions. And I honestly don't know how they're going to top this. Good luck, Dave Filoni. You are Midas. Everything you touch turns to gold. Dave Filoni tells stories of being George Lucas's, I guess, protege, if you will. Letting George Lucas show him the ropes. Learning from George Lucas. Understanding the lore. And I do think that is a huge part of Dave Filoni's success. But, like, Dave Filoni is the next one up in terms of people, you know, in the future, writers, directors, producers, saying, yeah, I worked with Dave Filoni. He taught me this about Star Wars. He helped me understand this about Star Wars. He showed me the ropes for Star Wars. Like, he is the next one. He is this generation's George Lucas, and I stand behind that statement 110%. That's how it is, in my opinion. Thank you, Dave Filoni. Thank you, Jon Favreau. Thank you, Lucasfilms. This episode was amazing. I cannot wait to watch Chapter 7, the finale of the Book of Boba Fett. And I cannot wait for Season 3 of The Mandalorian. I hope we get a Kenobi trailer in the next few weeks, or next week, I should say. And yeah, if you've made it this far, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Join us over on Twitter, Carbonite Crew, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. I post every now and then. And yeah, feel free to reach out with your thoughts and opinions. I'd love to have a conversation with anyone about the show, about Star Wars in general. Love to chat, you know. Go ahead and shoot me a message. Slide into those DMs. But yeah, I will see you guys and gals and nerds and geeks and fans next week for Chapter 7. And until then, may the Force be with you all.
Another happy landing.